Okay, we're going to do Parshat Zachor today. And then if we have time, we'll do Megillah. I know we said Megillah, but it's all the same. Okay, and this week is Parshat Zachor, which we read. And we'll actually discover why we read it. We'll probably discover why we read it and ask you to bring a Tanakh for good reason. And we're going to try to understand
the... When did you ask to bring a Tanakh?
Did you get the email?
No.
You don't read your emails.
I do read my
emails.
I got it.
On the list.
What?
You didn't say...
Say bring Tanakh.
Just Tanakh.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So Zachor appears obviously in Dvarim, Perek Kafhe Pasuk Yud Zayin. Dvarim Perek Kafhe Pasuk Yud Zayin. Kind of out there in the middle of nowhere. And this is what we read. It's a mitzvah d'oraita to read it in the shul once a year. Okay, we read Parshat Zachor. Anybody who's ever in a shul in Israel knows we read it five different times because everybody wants it read in their particular Adas specific Kriya. I was like it. They do in South Africa too. And when I grew up, we only did it one way, our way. Okay. And then you come to Israel, and you realize
there is no other way.
They did it multiple times,
but
they did it multiple ways.
Yeah. Okay. It's so Jewish. We can't figure out the way to read a single. Anyway. Zachor et asher asal lecha Amalek baderech beitzeitchem mimitzayim. Remember that which Amalek did to you on the way as you left Egypt. So, and I want to focus on Pasuk Yudche. Because this Pasuk is incredibly subject to interpretation. Asher karcha, but we're going to translate, actually, every phrase in this Pasuk and sit on each phrase. Asher karcha baderech. Okay? That he karcha. Karcha is impossible to translate because it's subject to different meanings. Karcha, anybody want to share what they have in their English? Okay, the JPS and the Art Scroll are certainly going to be different, I promise. Let's go for Art Scroll.
That he happened upon you.
Happened upon you, okay. What do you have?
And how he met thee by the way.
How he met thee by the way. What do you have?
How undeterred by fear of God.
No, how undeterred by fear of God, go on.
Asher karcha.
No, read it on. Read the whole verse, because that's from the later.
Undeterred by fear of God, he surprised you on the march.
Okay? Karcha, surprised you? Fascinating. Never thought about that.
Why?
Because, okay, what are they doing? Happened upon you is from what Hebrew word?
Mikra,
karcha. Happened upon you. What?
We don't believe in happenstance.
But he believes in happenstance. It's one of the very big themes of Purim, this idea of Amalek and Mikre. Okay, that Chazal bring up. Right, the reason Purim is called Purim is because?
Cast lots.
Hu ha-pur asher hipil Haman. It's Purim. The very name of the holiday is based upon. What did Haman cast lots for? To pick the most appropriate day to kill the Jews. Fascinating. Why would Haman cast lots? Why don't you just pick a day? Like, what day is Tuesday's good for me? I'll pick Tuesday. Okay, but he didn't do it that way. He specifically cast lots. That was his, so the Chazal teacher. So that's the attribute of Amalek. The attribute of Amalek is the idea of Mikre. Karcha baderech. That it's happenstance. It didn't happen for a reason.
And it's not his belief that there's other gods.
Correct. But it's a belief in no gods.
No gods. Not
correct.
That.
There is no hashgacha. It's opposite of Judaism. Yesterday I'm taking home a student. And she needs to catch a bus, okay? Yeah. And I left a little late. Her bus was 6:15, so we're trying to figure out. It's unbelievable the technology world in which we live in. We're trying to figure out. So we wazed from where we were to Yad Binyamin. It was 18 minutes, and then she was trying to catch a bus that was supposed to be there at 6:15, and we were never going to make it. But there's this app that you can download, which will not only tell you where every bus is exactly, and how far each bus is from any particular stop. It's called Nav Bus or Bus, something like that. You can, it's crazy. So we're dueling apps. It was what?
It's in Hebrew.
No, it's in whatever.
It's in English.
Yeah. It can tell you exactly. Like she needed the 4:37. The 4:37 got stuck in traffic. She made it by 2 minutes. You know what I'm saying? So the whole time it was not clear that she was going to make it at all. This poor student, she's like, Hakobi Yad Hashem, Hashem Otzei Shani Etfos Autobus. You know what I'm saying? You know, so apparently Hashgacha Pratit wanted her to make that bus because I went a little faster than I was supposed to, and the bus hit a little traffic. Apparently, it wasn't terrible. It was fine. Okay, But her whole worldview was, if I'm supposed to make that bus, I'll make that bus. Right? And I enjoyed her perspective. Because we're supposed to have that perspective.
Did you hear that story about the guy that was supposed to be on the plane?
I hate those stories because he kept Shabbos. I just saw a highlight.
He didn't keep Shabbos, but his travel agent, who is Shomer Shabbos, said, "I can't book you on Shabbos if you want that flight. You book it." And he said, "I should be a little bit more observant," and he flew the day before.
Which flight was it?
I don't know. I'm happy. Whatever.
I don't like those stories.
Yes. Because what about all the people that, you know, like all the people that daven in the morning and didn't go to the then September 11th and didn't go to the towers? What about all the Jews that davened early and were there early? You know what I'm saying? You know. That's okay.
The ones that were supposed to miss it.
Correct.
I will tell you.
Shmirat mitzvot. We don't keep mitzvot. The point of that is, if you keep Shabbos, it'll save your life. And the truth is, there's no correlation between those two things.
It's
we keep
true.
Shabbat not to save our lives. We keep Shabbat to keep Shabbat.
That's not true. There's no correlation. Yes, we do keep Shabbat to keep Shabbat. But if we involve Hashem in our lives, He'll be more involved in our lives.
In a miraculous way.
If we don't keep Shabbat and we don't have Him in our life, or we have Him less in our life, He's not going to be as involved in our life. He won't care.
Wow.
Just like we don't care.
I'm not as skeptical as Rina. I want to accept
her. All these people who are gedolim b'Torah, who have terrible tragedies in their families. It's not obviously connected. You can't see it.
They're supposed to have tragedies in their families.
What is that supposed to mean? They're supposed to have tragedies in their families. So that means as connected as you are in Hashem, He'll be connected.
Wait, one second.
And He's going to save you from
it. But we're the opposite of Mikra. Amalek is Mikra. We're not Mikra. We're Nashkacha Pratit.
If he thinks it's good for you to be saved, he might think
ideologically, Chazal were much closer to Miriam than to us. Yes, there's a reason. We can't understand that reason, but there has to be a reason. There has to be Ashkacha Prati.
You're also looking at the bad things that are happening as bad things that are happening.
I'm saying that we believe in this idea of Ashkacha Prati. It's clearly part of our Mesorah. We believe, you know what I'm saying? I think you're right. The closer we are to Hashem, that's why I told the story of this girl. The closer the more you believe that it's Hashkacha Prati, the more the Hashkacha Prati influences you. And that's our job to try to work to that. And it doesn't mean, you're right, bad things happen to good people. Clearly, that doesn't mean it's not Hashkacha.
Sometimes he'll make those bad things happen because that's what he thinks is good for you.
My point about your story was, I don't think it's related to whether they keep Shabbat or not. I mean, you clearly are supposed to keep Shabbat, but I don't keep Shabbat because it'll save me from an airplane or not save me from an airplane. I keep Shabbat because we're commanded to keep Shabbat. And I believe that those stories perpetuate a sort of myth, in a sense. Like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you see, he kept Shabbat and see what happened to him. God forbid, what happens if the flight was on Sunday? And he kept Shabbat and he pushed out the Shabbat because the flight was Sunday. So it happened to be it wasn't this time. But there are such things. You know what I'm saying? It's not... Those stories, they don't do... They can be a... They give me a feeling of, like, that's not why we do things.
No, it's not saying why, but it's not also not saying, you know, we don't do this for that, but as I did this, so that happened. It's not I'm keeping Shabbos so that he should protect me from a plane disappearing.
Right.
It's, wow, look at the coincidence, if you would prefer to say.
What's the implication of the coincidence? What's the implication of the coincidence?
That he was not on the plane, that he...
What?
Coincidence to me is like, that it happens there. It's like that takes Hashem out of the picture.
But, and also it's bringing this guy closer to Hashem, because he said, I missed that plane. I'm now going to be more aware of God in my life. That brought him closer to
Hashem. I'm saying, what happens if the opposite would have happened? And the opposite has happened.
I missed
my flight because I was davening the airport, and the guy who got on the flight was the guy who missed it, you know what I'm saying? Got on that fated flight. We never hear those stories.
But I don't think our brain processes information that way.
I don't understand. You said it one way. Why wouldn't it go the other way?
Because we don't necessarily process for the bad. We process for the good. We like to see the good. We like to see how we connect to Hashem and how it brings us closer to Him. We want to be closer to Hashem. We want to do more mitzvot. And so we find the things that help us connect to Him.
But I much more appreciate the other perspective, that we have to see Hashem in the good and in the bad. And this is
these stories.
I'm saying people don't want to see God in the bad. All they want to see is God in the good.
But sometimes you need more time to see.
Like Rina was saying, like how could it be? All these tzaddikim, like we don't. There is a reason we don't understand it, but like that's harder to swallow.
Right. The bad things happen to bad people.
How do we get on this?
Things happen. The bad things happen to good people because Hashem wants them to happen. But when you
understand that, why do the bad things happen to bad people? Because God wants to happen.
Let's just say that God is less involved in bad people. This is, I'm following your line of logic here. Okay, that God is more involved in the lives of the good people, but the same bad things happen to the good people as happen to bad people, but it happens as part of Hashem's involvement in their lives as opposed to less of Hashem's involvement in the other people's lives. Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't like the terms good and bad people. I like the terms that are connected to Hashem.
It's semantics, but okay.
But there is an idea that, like, that if Hashem is doing bad things, you're going to test that because he loves doing bad things.
I think we're going to leave this as a question mark. It's a difficult challenge. If you expect me to solve this problem in the next 3 minutes, I can't. No. You know, it's all good. Okay. What? The eternal question, which is the question of Purim also. It is a question. We face genocide as a people. What the heck? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a good thing to ask also.
This time we were saved.
Asher karcha baderech. Yeah, we'll go back.
Mikre.
So look at Rashi. If those of you have Rashi, I gave you all, I put out some chumashim if you want to. You can look at Rashi for a second. Rashi brings three different interpretations. Says Rashi, Asher lakarcha, karcha baderech, lashon mikre. Mikre, happenstance. So what does that mean, Asher karcha? It's fascinating. This read your translation again. Who, by the way, right, read your translation again.
How undeterred by fear of God, he surprised you on
the
mark.
He surprised you. I never thought about it that way. Karcha is not that it's, like, I always understood it, Lashon Mikre, it's from the language of he didn't intentionally chase after you. But that's hard to imagine. Like, the understanding I always had in Chazal is, Amalek is like, you know, traveling through the desert, and lo and behold, here come the Jews. Hey, let's attack the Jews. Why not? What the heck? That's the way I always understood this Lashon Mikre of Rashi.
Is that the Jews themselves saw it as happenstance, and perhaps that was why Amalek was losing in the beginning. Was winning in the beginning.
Okay, that's...
only once that they saw it was Yad Hashem that they were able to...
Correct. That's one interpretation. It says, second in Rashi, Davar Acher, Lashon Keri V'Tuma. Keri is a nocturnal emission, Tuma, inappropriate seminal emission. So, Hakshir Karcha, they defiled you on the way. That's the second interpretation. That's how you would translate it. Third one, b'mishkav zachor. They were defiling each other with mitam'an, or defiling the Jewish people, it's unclear, with sodomy, mishkav zachor. Davar acher, number three, lashon kor v'chom, asher karcha, they cooled you up. This is a very, very famous Rashi, it's worthwhile to know. Okay, this is a classic Rashi you have to be aware of. Tzanan cha, he cooled you off. V'hiv shir cha, he tempered you. Miritichatcha, from your boiling. The Jews were hot. We were hot. What does that mean? Shayu kol ha'umot yireim milhilachem becha. Everyone was afraid of the Jewish people, because this is just after Kriyat Yam Suf. Right? God saved them. Everybody knew that God saved the Jews. So everybody's afraid of the Jews. Then, ubazeh v'hitchil. So this guy came and started with you. V'her'a makom la'achirim. And he showed a place for other people to show. Mashal, the very famous Mashal Rashi says, it's a parable, La'ambati rotachat, a boiling hot tub. They call it a bathtub, but we'll say it's the steam room. She'en kober yachol al-eretotcha. Nobody wants to get in because it's too hot. Ba ben Belial, echad kafat v'yirad betocha. Some ben Belial, I'll translate it as a shmendrik. What?
I was going to say that.
What were you going to say?
No, that's fine.
Exactly that word?
Similar, but a little different.
Okay, some Ben Belial, some wild hooligan. Is that fair? Some wild hooligan jumps in.
John Doe.
Right, okay. But it's not that it's just some John Doe. Some troublemaker. Right, some troublemaker jumps in and he jumps in. Af al pish nichveh, even they get burned. He kura uto bifnei achirim, but he cools it off for other people. Okay, asher karcha baderech, karcha, he cooled you off. Meaning, he showed other people, see the Jews, they're not so bad. They're not so tough. Everybody was scared of us, but it turns out we're not so scary. Yeah. All right, you have to end the question. Okay? Three interpretations of a karcha, which is correct. So the third one is clearly midrashic. First two, surprised you or happened upon you. on the way. Happened upon you, Chazal say, this is the attribute of Amalek, that it's happenstance. They don't believe in Hashgacha Pratit. We do believe in Hashgacha Pratit. To whatever degree we believe in it, we're not going to go there again. Okay? Or they surprised you on the way, also from the language of happened. They defiled you, no one quotes. Karcha from Kerry. They defiled you on the way.
Never heard that one.
Okay? Rashi. Or they cooled you up. That's from the... They were the first ones. They're the first ones to dare attack the Jewish people. Because when you have this aura of intimidation, nobody wants to start up with you. Sometimes the fear itself is more powerful than the army. Right? And then you discover, when you attack, you realize, oh, they're not so bad. They're not so tough. That's why you often want to perpetuate the image of, you know, Halavai, the impervious, you know, Israel Air Force. How tough they are. They're the best in the world. You want to perpetuate that fact. You want people to think that they're as good as they are. How good are they really? We hope they're as good as they are. Correct. We don't want anybody to find out.
It's like it was in 48 when they ran out of ammunition and they were throwing bottles with soda just to scare them, but they really ran out of ammunition.
Right.
Right.
How much of war is psychological warfare? Right. It plays on fear. Right? If your enemy is afraid of you, you know, if you're able to intimidate your enemy and they're afraid of you, you've won half the battle. And,
you know, that time Shaul's son with his arms carrier, they were able to take down a whole group of soldiers. They all ran away because it was just the two of them, but they made so much noise and it was the middle of the night that it sounded like they were surrounded.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Psychological warfare is huge. Okay, that's a karcha baderech. So they were able to overcome that psychological deterrent. Vayizanev becha kol hashnecheshalim acharecha. Anyone? Vayizanev. What's a zanav?
A
tail. They tailed on you?
All the weaklings.
They tailed you?
All the
strangers. All the necheshalim acharecha. Necheshalim. So we don't know what vayizanev means. And we don't know what are necheshalim. Okay, vayizanev becha sounds like from zanav they
attack
from the back. Okay, all the necheshalim. What are necheshalim? What does it sound like? What does the word sound like?
Nebuch.
Why? Why do you say nebuch? So what in Hebrew word?
It sounds like nechshal.
Chalash.
Nechshal.
But nechshal is with a chal. Right. Kishalon is a failure.
Michshol
is a stumbling block with a chaf. Okay. Nechshal, chalash is weak, but it's not nechshal. It's nechshal. So Ibn Ezra says, "Yitachen milat necheshalim kmo nechelashim." He says it's the same, like kesev and keves. Sometimes in the Torah, letters are switched. Sure, o kesev o is. Kesev is the same as keves. Keves is a ewe, ram. I never remember which one. Kosher animal. What?
It's a sheep.
Sheep. That's the one. Okay. So they attacked. In the simple interpretation, it means vayizanev. They attacked from the back. Kol hanecheshalim, all the weak ones, acharecha. What are acharecha?
Behind you.
What does that mean? Behind you.
In the back.
In the back.
Stragglers.
Stragglers from. If you were having a camp, right, and the camp was moving throughout the desert. Where would you put the people, the weak people? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who would you put in the back?
Strong.
What?
Strong in front.
Right. You have a front guard, and you have a rear guard.
But that's assuming you need one. Why did they think that they would need one? Because they had just the psychological fear. They hadn't been attacked yet.
They had something else. What else did they have? They didn't even have psychological fear.
The international bone. They didn't need those.
Correct.
What is Rav from Egypt?
You mean the Arab Rav? Are we worried about the Arab Rav?
No.
Right, okay. Necheshalim acharecha. What are their people doing in the back? How did they get there? What happened to the Anane HaKavod?
Maybe they lost their faith.
Oh, fascinating.
They disconnected.
What?
They were not connected to the
Anane HaKavod. They're not connected. Why? Didn't protect them. Again, look at Rashi. These are fascinating theological questions. How is it possible they were subject to attack? Says Rashi. Okay. Look at Rashi. Kol hanecheshalim. I'm sorry. Vayizanev becha. Again, fascinating. Makat zanav. Makat zanav.
Never heard of it.
A tail attack. This is what he's saying. Chotech milot. they would cut off foreskins, vizorek klape mala, and throw them heavenward. What? Right? What in the world? Okay, why is that makat zanav also? I'm not entirely sure if makat zanav is some kind of phrase or something. It's a meaning, Rashi implies, a direct rebellion against God. Okay, they attacked. They didn't attack the Jewish people just, meaning the fundamental question here is, why did Amalek attack in the first place? Where is Amalek based? Where is Amalek? Amalek has land somewhere in Canaan. Are they in the desert, Sinai desert? So why do they attack? Do they even know where the Jewish people are going?
Because they could.
What?
Because they could.
Because they could. Correct. Asher karcha baderech. Here are the Jewish people. You know, hey, let's attack the Jews. Why does Amalek ever attack us?
I mean, what about this game they have all over?
What game?
Attacking. What is it called? Anyone know? They just randomly attack people.
Oh, those get people them. Who are like, there was this phenomenon of people just punching people in around the world. That's not Amalek.
No reason.
The idea of Amalek is, it's, you know, we understand that the root of Amalek is to try, there's this like underlying battle between Amalek and the Jewish people. Right? They see in us an existential threat, and we see in Amalek an existential threat. Whether it's an actual people or an idea. So for some reason, they see in us as we have to attack the Jewish people. Right? Even though they're not a threat to us physically, they're not a, you know, they're traveling in an area that's not our area. Okay? And the way they do it is by preying on the Nechashalim. But here in Rashi's comment, Makat Zanav, meaning it's an attack of a blasphemy. Take Mila. What's the idea of Mila? What's the idea of Brit Mila?
Covenant
with God. So they take it and they throw it right. They throw it right back at God and say, you know what? Take your covenant. Here's your people. Here's your chosen nation. Right? The idea of Mila specifically is we're Amani B'char. They take it and throw it right back at us. Okay. Look at Rashi. Kol Nechashalim Acharecha Chasrei Koach. So again, what Rashi implies that Nechashal is Chalash. Machmat chata'am shahaya ha'anan poltan. Because of their sinfulness, the cloud
spit them out.
Not everybody gets to be in the cloud. You thought that the cloud was universal. No. If you didn't deserve the cloud got rid of you. Okay? Sha'anan poltan. So that's what they were doing. Amalek sees these people. By the way, what sin gets you kicked out of the cloud? The Mishkav Zachar of the people? No, Amalek would Mishkav Zachar the people.
Imam, you said it wasn't clear with whom.
I didn't see that. So I never saw that the Jewish people were engaged in it. I saw three interpretations. Midrash says the following. Okay? The Midrash says, one second. What does it mean, Nechashalim? Rabbi Yehuda says, anyone who wasn't an appropriate tzaddik, who wasn't righteous enough, Hayani Shol was lost. I mean, you had to be on a high spiritual level in the Midbar. That's number one. Number Rabbi Nechemiah says, number two, okay, Kol Mishanan Polto Machmat Chata'av. Didn't say what the sin was. Rabbanan Amre, the rabbi said, who was the weak? Zesh Shivto Shel Dan. The whole tribe of Dan, they were the last. Why? Mishum Shayu Kulam Ovdim Avodah Zarah. In the desert? Really? Fascinating.
After all those
Nisim. Right. Fascinating. Although, our interpretation of Avodah Zarah is different. Like, meaning, we think it's exclusive. You either are Obed Avodah Zarah or you worship God. I think it was much more fluid to them. Like, there's God and everybody. Like, you see this also in the times of Bayit Rishon, the times of Malachim, Sefer Malachim. The idea was they wanted to root out Avodah Zarah. It wasn't that people didn't believe in God, but they saw the idols as conduits to get to the one, to the true higher God. Right, they saw them as, you know, as omens, as psalim, as, you know, as sub-gods, right, which we don't believe in, we don't understand it, but it was part of their thinking, part of their understanding, which explains a lot of what the Egel HaZahav was about. Of course we believe in God. We believe in the little God, you know, the big God and the little God. What's the big deal? Like, you know, it's just foreign to our way of thinking, but it doesn't mean that they didn't have that as well. For whatever reason, they got kicked out of the Anani HaKavod, leaving them as prey for, hey guys, wait, you know? No, they're prey for Amalek, somebody, some nation to come and fall prey to them. One more midrash in Asher Karcha. The midrash says Karcha, a fascinating midrash. Karcha mamash means they called you by name. What did Amalek do? Fascinating. Amad, this is from the Midrash Tanchuma. Amad v'yarad la'archion shel Mitzrayim. They went into the archives in Egypt. V'natal tom sehon. They went and got out their, you know, their genealogy. They took out the books of the tribes. Okay? V'amad chuslana. They would stand outside the cloud. And they had to get them out of the clouds. And this says they would asher karcha. They would call you by name. By Yaakov, my mayor, Reuben, Shimon, Levi. Hey, you know, Dashlowin from the tribe of Dan. Yeah? We got some deals for you. Come on out. We'd like to do business. And poor Joshua. What? So this
entering
is like,
his fam now.
What? Right. That's his it. Okay. Anan Achechon. We are your brothers. You want to, you know.
Nigeria.
Right. I'm stuck in the airport in Heathrow. Okay. Kevan Tayu Yisrael, Yotzim Imahem, and the poor Jews that would go out, Tayu Hergimotam. Right? So they would somehow, Kar Chabader, the Midrash says they would call them by name. They would trick them. What do you do with a Midrash by then? What do you do with a Midrash like that? Like, did they really? Really? Amalek went to the archives? What does that tell you?
They were determined.
It was deliberate. It wasn't that just they stumbled upon the Jewish.
You're thinking in terms of interpreting the psukim. Let's think in terms of midrash. In midrash, what do Baalei midrash do? Baalei midrash take the events in Tanakh and they appropriate them for their times. What was Amalek in the times of Chazal, in the times of the Romans? And you know what I'm saying? Part of what they were dealing with wasn't physical attack, but they were dealing with Hellenization. They were dealing with the attempt to corrupt the Jewish people. So what would they do? They would I'm sure they would do exactly that. They would go in, they would do research about them, they would find out about them, they would attempt to befriend them, they would send them friendly emails, they would, you know what I'm saying? Exactly that, that things haven't changed. Just the technology has changed, but it's exactly the same. You know, you get a message on Facebook, I would like to be your friend. How many people have gotten messages like that from somebody you never, like, who are you exactly? Trying to ensnare you in whatever it is, some business thing or some site or some whatever, you know? Nothing is new, so that's Amalek. Wow, it's a busy day. Okay. Asher karcha b'derech we have. Somehow we don't exactly know what it means, but they happened upon you, they surprised you, they cooled you off, they called you. Vayezanev becha, kol anechesh alim acharecha, the weak, the sinful, the ones who are left behind, they attacked. Va'ata ayef v'yageya. And you are tired, v'yageya. What?
Famished.
Yageya.
That's how this translates it.
How does it translate it?
Exhausted.
And you are tired and exhausted. That's what it translates it as?
You were faint and
exhausted.
Faint and exhausted.
Famished and weary.
Okay, obviously, what does that say to you when you see something like that? What?
Weak.
Is not being provided
for. Yeah.
Are you supposed to have everything?
You are tired and not provided for. So that's God's fault. Miyageya. When something is miyageya in modern Hebrew, what does that mean?
It's like draining.
Draining. That's the word.
Okay. Yageya. You are tired.
And drained. Rashi says ayef bitzama, like they were thirsty.
Okay. Ayef.
Right.
No. Ayef bitzama. V'yageya baderech, tired from thirst and weary from the trip. Okay, why are they thirsty? It's hard. Why are they thirsty? Why are they thirsty? There's no water. Why are there no water? Why is there no water?
Because there's no more
bear. Why is there no bear? No. This is in Mitzrayim. This is right after Mitzrayim. Why is there no water? Whose fault is that?
They don't have the anam.
They didn't ask for it yet. It was before the bear.
Whose fault is it that they don't have water?
Their own.
Really?
Yeah, it's a shame they didn't give water.
Why did God give them water?
He wanted them to ask for it.
He wanted them to ask for it. He didn't give them water. What do they do?
They question and complain.
So what does God say?
I'll give you what to complain about.
Ask me nicely. You know what I'm saying? So, Ata Ayef, you're tired and yagia and thirsty. And then you kvetch and complain. and you're tired and thirsty, and then you lack behind. But because you kvetch and complain, you get stuck outside of the anane hakavod, meaning sometimes the bad things are a test. Okay, yageya. The word tells me something different. Yageya. It doesn't necessarily, to me, a yef is enough. You're tired. They attacked you when you're tired. Is that such a terrible thing, by the way, for an enemy to attack you when you're tired?
Well, it's more than the enemy.
Yeah. So what's the relevance here? You're a yef, you're tired, v'yageya, you're weary. Yageya is more like, oh, really? That's the yageya.
It's a bit of a spiritual indication.
Yes. Yageya to who? Is it your yageya to yourself? Correct. You're having a drop in morale, a drop in something. Okay, here we are. We just got out of Egypt. We're on the way. We're in the Sinai Desert. And it's already like yageya. It's already like heavy. Really? How long does it take? And the answer is, sadly, not very long. It takes as long as it takes, but it doesn't take long for lack of morale to set in, and despondency, and a lack of faith. And next thing, ata ayev biyageya velo yare Elohim. Translations.
Miriam already gave.
What do you have? Yeah, what do you say? Read the passage again, Miriam.
From when you were famished and weary.
No, from the beginning. From the beginning. Because
it puts the end of how, the beginning. Because it
right.
Makes more sense.
Yes.
How undeterred by fear of God.
Undeterred by fear of God. Velo yare Elohim. Okay, so it's how's it explaining that word? Undeterred by fear of God. Who?
He surprised you on the
who doesn't fear God?
Oh, the people. Amalek.
What?
Amalek.
Does that make sense in the translation? Read the pasuk again. He attacked you on the road. And he tailed all of the weak people. And you are tired and weary. And everybody understand the question?
Yeah.
What's the question?
The question is, who didn't fear God?
Who didn't fear God? In this context, in the regular reading, who doesn't fear God?
What?
No.
Oh, sorry.
In the simple reading.
Only if the Anafta was under Acharecha, then I would agree with you. I don't think it's so obvious as you think.
Okay.
It seems like two groups of people, no?
The Vatayev Viageya, comma, Velo Yare Elohim. So is Velo Yare Elohim a continuation of Vatayev Viageya? Or is the Velo Yare Elohim going back to the original subject of the Pasu? Everybody understand?
Why can't it be both?
Yeah, but if it's the latter, it's back to the background.
It's background. It is background.
And if it's the former, the punctuation's off.
What?
No, you can have a no, it won't make sense. Semicolon, because it's a whole new.
It's a semicolon.
It's like a really new idea.
But
right?
It's a
because Ayeh Ve'Yageya is like a physical thing. But Lo Yareh Elohim is like, now we're going to set you up for the kicker. Right? Like, this is the main point.
What would we want to say? Who doesn't fear God? That's what you want to say? I don't want to say. I want to say Amalek didn't fear God.
Yeah.
And that's why he attacked. V'lo yare Elohim. Okay? But it makes more sense if you say V'ata ayef v'yageya. You are tired. V'yageya. And
weary.
Why? V'lo yare Elohim.
Why can't it be both?
Maybe you're exhausted because you didn't fear God.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And because you didn't fear God, it gave the opening for Amalek to come after you.
Right.
So it's like both.
Right. And so what I'm trying to show you in all this is the vagueness of the psukim leave open not an interpretation, meaning at its face value, it's all about the wickedness and the evil and the despicable nature of Amalek. Right? Karcha baderech, vayizenei becha, v'atayef yageya, poor you, poor misken Jewish people, you're tired, you're weary, you're tired, you're poor, the Statue of Liberty is there, and you're sitting there, and you're on the boat, and all of a sudden comes Amalek and blows up the boat in the middle of the harbor. Okay? Because they're just evil and wicked. And now all of a sudden here we're reading it a little bit differently. Nechashalim acharecha, why are you nechashalim? What happened to you? Acharecha, how did you get behind out of the clouds of glory? Ayef v'yageya, you're tired and you're weary. You're thirsty. Wait, you're thirsty. Why are you thirsty? You didn't have water. Why don't you have water? Well, it's a different story entirely. God didn't give us water because we started to complain. V'lo yare Elohim itself is vague. He didn't fear God clearly. What about us? Now the implication of Zichirat Michiat Amalek becomes far more interesting. Okay, it's very nice when we have this beautiful picture of Dasher the Amalek with the mustache and the three-cornered hat and how terrible he is. And we're the purest, pure Jews sitting purely davening the Beis Medrash in Shushan, and we're learning all day and everything's wonderful, and all of a sudden in comes Haman and says, I'm going to kill you all. You know what I'm saying? But if there's a more nuanced picture... Correct. We know that wasn't the case at all, except we tend to forget it. Correct? We tend to forget, meaning, right, that's the idea. The idea is that there's, again, I guess kind of like the Purim story.
But it still doesn't justify.
Of course it doesn't justify. Never justifies. Doesn't justify.
Other people's evil.
Never. Mm-hmm. But our job isn't to decide, ask, why is Haman there? Our job is to ask ourselves, how does our behavior enable Haman to achieve what he wants to achieve? How does our behavior enable Amalek to attack? That's the question. If we have Anane HaKavod, Anane HaKavod are the most direct manifestation of Hashgacha Pratit. Hashgacha Klalit it was. The direct protection of God, which we believe in. Haman doesn't believe in it. There's this interaction of two opposites. And ours is correct. We believe ours to be true, intuitively true. Then how is it that he succeeds? And the answer is, of course, when the diametric opposites begin to, when we begin to lose the purity of mind and a purity of vision, we offer that opening. Okay, when the lo yareh Elohim, when it's not clear who exactly isn't yareh Elohim, and somehow Amalek's lack of yirat Elohim could be our lack of yirat Elohim, then ours becomes his, and his world starts to trample into our world. All that in one crazy pasuk. You know? It's laden, it's very heavy.
I picture the two little angels.
What?
It kind of gives me the image, I mean, it's a Goyish image, but you know, like the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder, and that, you know, which way are you leaning?
Amalek is the manifestation of the actual, you know, the very, very most extreme of archetype of the Lo Yareh Elohim. Okay?
And Shushan and Achashverosh are like the confused sort of, right, Achashverosh, Chazal say Achashverosh was either a wicked king or he was just sort of foolish king.
Correct.
Confused, like everybody sort of did what they wanted.
He was the world to be manipulated. You know what I'm saying? Like Haman could use it for his purposes, or afterwards Mordechai could use it for his purposes. Okay, it all depends on us, like the thing that's beneath the surface. Okay, that's that pasuk. I want to let's just read the last pasuk. We'll see. V'haya b'haniach Hashem Elokech alecha mikol oyvecha misaviv. When God will leave you, alone, haniach, leave you from all of your enemies around you. Ba'aretz asher Hashem Elokech noten lecha nachala levishta, in the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. Timche et zecher Amalek mitachat hashamayim lo tishkach. You should eradicate the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. Lo tishkach. Don't forget it. Okay, so there's obviously we're not going to talk about the dual implication of, on the one hand, timche et zecher Amalek. You have to eradicate their memory, but you should also not forget them. Yeah, exactly. Okay. I think God understood that that was a problem. You know, so how do you eradicate something and also remember it at the same time? The Zecher Amalek is clearly... So,
we were going to constantly forget.
What?
We knew we were going to constantly...
Forget Amalek?
Or forget what we need to do to keep him out of the picture.
It's what does it mean to be about Timche et Zecher Amalek? So what do we do today? And this is also the question that later... It was very easy in the times of the Shoftim, in times of the Navi, to understand the mitzvah to eradicate Amalek. But we all know now, there is no more genealogical Amalek. Like all the nations are, unless someday they're going to do a genetic test and figure it out, which would be fascinating in and of itself. But even the idea of Amalek, so some Mefarshim say, the Netziv talks about the idea of the intellectual legacy of Amalek. We have to root that out and not forget it.
We really don't think that there's a genetic connection?
Oh, yeah. It'd be hard to establish. You think so?
I don't think we know. I don't know. I mean, they say that. I don't
Right.
Maybe
hard to establish. It'd be hard. You'd have to establish it. I mean, what, it's spread around just like...
Go get the DNA from all these different people.
Don't get me wrong, but if you start getting into DNA, you'd have a hard time proving Jewish DNA, too. You know what I'm saying? There's so many converts and so many from the... You know what I'm saying? There's so many people that were brought into Klal Yisrael over time.
But it's an evil ideology. It's not a predisposition.
In that time it was clearly blood. In that time it was clearly the Mechiyat. Mitzvah Mechiyat Amalek in its
culture of a nation.
Mitzvah Mechiyat Amalek clearly is a mitzvah to destroy the descendants of Amalek. In all eras and in all times, says the Rambam. 1 second. Mitzvah Aseh La'abed Zecher Amalek. Okay? You have to eradicate. Any remnant of Amalek. In fact, the Rambam says explicitly, when the new king will be appointed in the times of Mashiach, he'll have to do three things. Right? Establish the kingdom, rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, and destroy Amalek. And if he doesn't do any of those three things, then you know he's not the Mashiach. That's what the Rambam says. It clearly takes it literally.
But whoever will be Amalek of that time will be a nation that
who's
based on a negative culture.
Really? Who's Amalek? So because BB says that Iran's Amalek, so they're Amalek? Hard to say. At the moment? What? Great.
Why? I don't think it's
the same.
It
can't be
the genealogy.
It's ideology.
It's very hard to say. Okay. 1 second. Says the Ramban, fascinatingly. Ramban says, what does it mean? 1 second. What does it mean? Timcheh. And then lo tishkach, okay? What does it mean, zachor and lo tishkach? So lo tishkach is in the heart, he says. So zachor must mean bepeh. It's not enough to remember in your mind. When it says zachor, you have to actually say it, which is the reason why we read it once a year. It's a mitzvah once a year. We read it in shul once a year as a remembrance because it's a fulfillment of the word zachor. Zachor is a mitzvah to remember baal peh. To remember, you have to say it out loud, and that's why we read it. So one of the reasons why you have it in shul and everybody has to come is that's the mitzvah to say, says the Ramban. Okay, I want to go back to V'lo Yarei Elohim. So Nachama Leibowitz has a fascinating idea that she talks about that I saw in the Bar Ilan. They have this online thing. They send out sheets every week. It's much more. It's kind of an academic thing. You can get a hold of it. It's in the shul somewhere if you're interested. It's also online. So this person, Yedidya Klein, who I don't know who he is, lives in Yerushalayim. I think he's maybe a physicist or a biologist. So he quotes the Chama Leibowitz. And she focuses on the idea of what does it mean, V'lo Yarei Elohim? So now we need our Tanakh. So what does it mean, V'lo? What is this idea? She says she believes V'lo Yarei Elohim refers to Amalek. Okay, so if we're looking to understand what the phrase V'lo Yarei Elohim means, you have to look in other areas of Tanakh. So turn to Breishit, Perek 20, Pasuk Yud. Breishit, Pasuk Chaf, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yud. Avraham and Sarai at the time, go down to Gerar, okay? And Abraham, as we well know, lies and says that Sarah is not his wife, but it's his sister. So of course Sarah is taken, and for the king, and God reveals Himself, and they're punished, etc., etc. Pasuk Yud. Vayomer Avimelech el Abraham. Ma ra'it ki asit et hadabar hazeh. So Avimelech says, "What did you do? What did you see that you did this thing? Why did you act in this way? Because he now knows he's a man of God. Why did you lie?" Okay. Vayomer Avraham, ki amarti, rak ein yirat Elohim b'makom hazeh, v'haraguni al dvar ishti. There is no yirat Elohim. Okay, in this place, and you would kill me for this matter. Example number one. So Avraham sees that there's no yirat Elohim, and for this reason you would kill me. That's example number one. Number two, turn to chapter Membet, Pasuk Yudzayim. Breishit Perek Membet, Pasuk Yudzayim.
Are there other examples of Yirat Hashem in between?
Yirat Elohim, not Yirat Hashem, Yirat Elohim.
Okay.
Elohim means, it's not Hashem. It's not God, necessarily. He's not, Avram's not proselytizing to Avimelech. Avram is saying, Ein Yirat Elohim. We're trying to figure out what that means.
Okay. What I'm asking though is, if you look in the context, are there other examples? Examples, or are these all the examples?
You'd have to look at a concordance and see.
It's 40, right?
Okay. It's a good question. There, I could think of one second. Yeah, I think this is the example he's going to say. Reshi Membet. Okay. Pasuk Yad Zayin. Okay. Ah, yes, this is the example I was thinking of. Okay. Yosef, he put his brothers in jail, right, because he claims that they're spies, and then he's not going to give them food. Then he, after 3 days in jail, he brings them out. Vayomer lehem Yosef, vayom hashlishi, zot asu b'chiyu, eta Elohim ani yarei. So he's saying to them, not as his brother, he's saying to them as the king of Egypt. Et alim ani yarei, im kenim atem achichem echad yaser, if you guys are really kenim, if you're telling the truth, I'll hold on to one of your brothers, you go back, you know, and you bring your younger brother. But he uses the phrase, et ha Elohim ani yarei. So what's he trying to tell them when he says, I have you're at Elohim?
I'm not going to kill him.
What?
I'm not going to kill him.
He didn't say that. He says,
basic moral decency.
Oh. Sounds like more like that. Basic moral decency. That's number example. Number two. Example number three. Hold on. Shmot. The very beginning of Shmot. Perek Aleph.
That's your Anna Hamila.
Very good. Okay. The Miyaldot. What God, Paro says to the Miyaldot HaEvriot. He says to the midwives, kill the Jewish babies. Shmot Perek Aleph. Okay. Okay, what do the Yaldot do? Okay, they say they can't do it. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vatirena hamiyaldot et ha'elohim, velo asuk asher diber lehem melech mitzayim, vatechayena et ha'yeladim. The miyaldot vatirena et ha'elohim. They feared God. We translate it, they feared God. But it doesn't mean they had Yirat Hashem the way we say it. Vatirena et ha'elohim. And they say, listen to what they say. Look at Vayit da Pasuk Chaf Aleph Vayihi. It was Ki Yarua Miyaldot Ed Elohim Vayas Lehem Batim. Okay, when they had this Yirat Elohim, so says Nachama Leibowitz, she suggests the idea. So what is the common denominator between the three? You have these midwives. Avraham looks at Gerar and he sees that this is a society that would not prevent, that would not stop someone, that the king would steal someone's wife and murder her husband in order to. In order to prey on him, that's one. Number two, Yosef says, I'm not the kind of person that would unfairly imprison someone from outside. And the third thing is, these midwives wouldn't kill innocent children, innocent infants, innocent babies. So Nechama Leibowitz suggests, he says, Yirat Elohim is the idea of a person who doesn't prey on the weak and the infirm and the people who can't protect themselves. In each of those cases, Abraham is coming from outside. So, who's going to stand up for him? Who's going to say, no, how can you do this? Who's going to protect him? There's nobody to protect him. So, it's easy to say, to kill him, because he's from the outside. He doesn't have anyone to protect him. In the second case, Yosef, he's talking to his brothers. As an Egyptian, the brothers are coming from Canaan. In the third case, it's talking about midwives who are in a position of power. The mother doesn't know if the child is healthy or not, if the child is alive or not. There, you know, who is in more of a position of power than a midwife catching the baby? The mother can't do anything. The baby can't protect himself. So in each of those cases, so the concept is they have Yirat Elohim to make the proper moral choice and not take advantage of the weak, the unprotected, the stranger. On the other hand, says Nechama, this is what Nechama says. She says, what does it mean that Amalek is Velo Yarei Elohim? They have no moral decency. They have no sense of moral appropriateness to protect the outsider, to protect the stranger, to protect the weak. Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, using the exact same scheme, you could say the Lo Yirei Elohim refers to Am Yisrael. They have no moral decency to keep those weak and needy people in the middle. Right? The whole premise of this is that they were traveling as a camp with strong people in the front, strong people in the back, right? Like caring for the weakest of their society.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe what it means is that, you know, especially in the beginning of their journey, where they're not really a
a bunch of schleppers, right? And they haven't yet set up any kind of legal system. They haven't set up really a system of authority of any kind or leadership other than Moshe, right? So they are... They're not traveling like that. They're not. They don't have the moral decency to say, well, the strong go in the front, the strong go in the back. There are people who are not Yirei Elohim yet, maybe.
Fascinating. I'll tie that into the last thing I wanted to talk about, which is the Kli Yakar. Turn back to Devarim Chafei for a second.
My friend from your Jews still has Rachamim as part of his genetic... Part of his genetic...
Makeup.
Correct.
But I'm saying,
but
it
doesn't come out. Yes, but even the most distant Jew...
You would like to... There's a difference... No. There's a difference... One second. Nikki, there's a difference between being intentionally cruel and saying, he'll take care of himself. That's what she's saying. That they weren't...
Each man for himself.
But yours is drash. Hers is... She's looking for... You understand? Yours is drash. Lo Yirei Elohim would mean... In those examples, a person who's Lo Yirei Elohim won't do something active in order to prey on the weak. And you're not talking about prey on the weak. You're talking about not caring for the weak, not having a broader view. Look at where Amalek appears. Look at the pasuk psukim before. The section before us. The pasuk chafeh, perak hafeh, pasuk yud gimel. Verse 13 in Dvarim. Lo yelcha bekischa even va'even gdola uktana. So the mitzvah right before zechirat mechiyat Amalek is don't cheat in business. Shouldn't have in your pocket a small and big weight. I.e., right, you know, when people would go to buy grain, here's a 5-pound bag of flour, and how would they figure out 5 pounds? They would have an even weight, put the flour on one side and the 5-pound block on the other side. Don't have a big 5 pounds and a small 5 pounds of the people you like and the people you don't like. Okay? Don't cheat. Lo yelcha bebeitcha eifa veifa gdola uktana. Same thing, right? A big measurement of a liter and a small measurement of a liter. Evan shleima v'tzedek yelcha, eifa shleima v'tzedek yelach. You should have a complete and whole stone, measurement stone, and also a liquid stone. Why? You have long life. It is an abomination of God to those who do these things, so to those people who pervert justice, who do avel, avla. Next pasuk, Zachor asher asa lecha amalek. Look at Rashi for a second, if you haven't. What does the Rashi say? Im shakarta b'midot u'b'mishkalot. You cheat on your midot and mishkalot. You cheat on your weights and your measures. Havidoeg min giroi ha'ayev. And you should start worrying about the ayev coming. Says the Kli Yakar, Zachor t'asher asa lecha Amalek. So why did Amalek come in their times? So remember I told you about what rabbis do in order for Midrash. They take things and extrapolate from their times and say, oh, I'll tell you what happened. You have Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar says, okay? Remember they said, what were the people doing outside of the Anane HaKavod? Because they had a lack of faith. Mizeh anachon lemeidim, he says, from this we can learn, shelo yu betuchim b'shem shiyenten lechem kol tzarkehem. They didn't have faith in God that God would give them everything they needed. Okay, and if you don't have faith that God's going to give you what you need, then what do?
Cheat.
You take, umistama hayu isukim be'enei ramaut. So it stands to reason that they were engaged in cheating. Shelo hayu yecholim latzei mehem bedin. Okay? And that they would steal things, they would take things that they were not able to legally take. Vasu ayin shel mala kilo ro'eh. And they viewed the eye of God as if God doesn't see. Okay? Uvekan ne'emar, and that's why it says, v'ata ayef ve'yageya, you were tired and yageya weary. Velo yarei Elohim. And you did not fear God, because what does it mean not to fear God? You think that God's not watching you. Hadavar hamasur lelev ne'emar bo v'yareita me'elohecha. He looks from another passage, v'yareita, you should fear God. You think God is watching you, then you don't cheat. But if you don't think God is watching you, then you do cheat. Okay, and he says, one second. Okay, and therefore, who was caught? The people that were nechashalim, the people that were kicked out. Meaning, kol baal mirma nidchem imchitzat hashchina. God saw the people that were cheating, and behold, what do you know? They found themselves outside the force field. Sorry, you don't belong here. You're not behaving in the proper way. Those were the people that were excluded. Those are the people that were kicked out. But so he says, V'lo yarei Elohim. He He says, I'll tell you a beautiful drasha. Parshat Zachor comes right after which parsha? Parshat? Shkalim. Okay, so you have Shkalim Zachor, just like you have the idea of appropriate weights, Parshat Zachor. To remind us, he says, on Purim, to remind us, okay, it's Kapara Alavon that was Mishkalei Zahav. They paid, what did they pay their money for? They paid the money to go to the Egel HaZahav. He says, interestingly enough, okay, Haman, how did Haman get to the king to agree to allow to destroy the Jewish people?
He paid.
Vayishkol Haman. What did Mordechai do as an atonement? When the Jewish people attacked, when they defended themselves, at the very end, when they defended themselves according to the rights of the Megillot that were sent out, they had the right to plunder. But it says specifically, the end of Megillat Esther, Uba biza lo shalchu et yadam. Mordechai did not permit them, you don't take the money. Why? Nobody should think we're in this for the money. He says it's a problem. When we think we don't have enough, this constant desire and yearning and need and running after more and more, right, causes people to think that what they have is not enough. If I don't have enough, then I have to cheat. And when we begin to cheat on our measurements and our weights, then God comes and says, you don't belong here. And the atonement for that is, obviously, taking what belongs to you and no more. That's another, it's a beautiful idea. Shkalim Zachor. Remember, pay the money, be happy with what you have. Be appreciative that God gives you what you need. Why? Because of Bnei Yisrael v'lo yirei Elohim. Okay, so we learned a bunch of different interpretations of what the attribute of Amalek was. We also learned that under that, there was a subtle message to us and the Jewish people of what brings on Amalek, a lack of Yirat Elohim, a lack of seeing God in our lives. Okay, that causes us to